And that need is a void and an emptiness in our soul, in our spirit. And we try, depending on our circumstances and what is available and what we have access to, we try to put different things in our lives to fit that void. So when you go to different places, you see people trying different things because of what is available where they are, you know. And so you will see that people try all kinds of things. Some people try using education because they have access to it. Some people try using relationships because they have access to it. Some people use money because they have access to it. Different things, but truly only God fits it. And only God satisfies it. Hallelujah. And the earlier you discover this, the better it is, because it saves you a lot of trouble. It saves you having to go round your entire life just to come to this one conclusion that really God is what I've been looking for all this time. Hallelujah. So I want to say to you this morning that your pursuit of the Lord must not be based on some, you know, physical need or some temporary need that you have that he seems to meet, or that you think you have hope for him meeting, but that it's a deeper relationship than that. Hallelujah. God wants to be part of your life. God wants to be part of your daily existence. He wants recognition in your life on a daily, regular, ongoing basis. Hallelujah. And when you develop that relationship, when you come to those points where you need him to express himself or manifest himself or help you for that matter, then you will find that you can also count on him to help in those areas. But it will not be the basis or the foundation of the relationship. Hallelujah. I think you understand my first sermon. Hallelujah. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and we are so grateful. We pray, Lord, that you bless us in this service. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, for just a short time, I want to share with you about faithfulness. Amen. This is our year of faithfulness. And so you're going to be hearing a lot about faithfulness. Different shades, different forms. Some will be grilled, some will be fried, some will be steamed, others will just be dried. And yet others will be fresh and raw. But you'll be hearing a lot about faithfulness. Amen. Because faithfulness is a very important element when it comes to walking with God. Hallelujah. And faithfulness, which is a word that casually means reliability, that you are trustworthy, that you are reliable, that you do not change easily, that you stay the same in the midst of changing circumstances. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk just this morning briefly about serving God even when it hurts. Hallelujah. Because many of us love God and have good intentions. Many of us intend to serve God. We're really serious about our decision to serve God. I mean, you wouldn't come here this morning if you were not serious, because most of us don't live upstairs, isn't it? We don't happen to be guests in this hotel, and we're swinging by the front desk and found some people worshiping and decided to join them. Hallelujah. But we have come here from our homes and various places. Most of us have come quite a distance to get here because we are serious about God. Hallelujah. And that is a great thing. Now, what you find is that a lot of us serve God until we come under some kind of pressure, until we get to the point where continuing to serve God involves an inconvenience, or sometimes involves a level or degree of pain. Do you see? Where if you serve God, it's going to cost you something. Or if you keep your integrity in Him, it's going to put you at risk for losing something, you know, which otherwise is precious to you. Sometimes a relationship, sometimes money, time, you know. And it is at that point that many of us fail, do you see? And that is exactly also what the definition of unfaithfulness is. Unfaithfulness, which is the opposite of faithfulness, simply means that you cannot be relied upon to be the same no matter what. Hallelujah. For you, it matters what. You know, that your faithfulness and your integrity where God is concerned, you know, is relative to the prevailing circumstances. You know, one day I asked someone a question, and then he replied, instead of giving me an answer, the person said, "Why?" And I asked him, "Why do you want to know why before you answer my question?" So yeah, because the answer to your question depends on why you're asking the question. Yeah. So if I can understand your motive for asking the question, then I know which of two answers to give to you, because I do not have a constant answer. The answer is not the same. Do you understand? Yeah, it's not the same. It depends on why you're asking. If you're asking me this question because you want to throw me out of the room and I don't want to leave the room, then I have a different answer for you. But if you're asking me this question because you want to keep me in the room at all cost, then I also have a different answer for you. Hallelujah. So it shouldn't be that our relationship with the Lord is of a nature that varies with changing seasons of your life. It shouldn't be that you serve the Lord when you're single and you don't serve Him a certain way once you now have or have found a way of occupying your Saturday nights. Do you see? Once someone has now rolled into your life who has become a source of pleasure for Friday evenings and Saturday evenings, then Sunday morning is going to have to give because we're going to come very tired on Saturday evenings. And, you know, so too bad, God. You take a loss at this point. Hallelujah. So that is what I'm talking about. God wants us to be constant. God wants us to be the same. Amen. And I'm going to read two scriptures or so with you, and then we're going to close. The first one can be found in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Hallelujah. The choir was singing a beautiful song that said, "I will always give you the glory." You know, and as they were singing it, I was just thinking, do you understand what it means to say that I will always give you the glory, or I will always do something? In fact, the commonest application of that phrase, "I will always," is when it comes to love. People like to tell people, "I will always love you. I will always love you. I will always love you." Last week, a lot of people were saying it. Was it last week, Thursday, that was Valentine's Day? Was it last week? Not this one just gone, the week before. Yeah. A lot of people were saying it. "I will always love you." You know, even when I got back from my trip, someone had sent me a card, and I saw that the person had written also, "I will always love you." Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, faithfulness works with such phrases. Hallelujah. Yeah. It falls within the arena of faithfulness when you say, I will always love you. Because you will find in time that always is a word that means a lot. Hallelujah. That whereas you are always willing, the conditions don't always favor that. Hallelujah. So when you are saying, I will always give you the glory, you're making a huge commitment. But it's a commitment worth making. Hallelujah. Because it gives you an opportunity to be faithful. And as for faithfulness, you know, one of my favorite verses this year is going to be Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. Let's read that before we come to this one. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. The scripture says, a faithful man, look at it, a faithful man, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Wow. Amen. It means that one of the sources of blessing is to be faithful, to be reliable, hallelujah, to be trustworthy, to be unchanging in the face of a temptation to change and pressure to change, hallelujah. So since we all like blessings, I think we all like blessings, isn't it? Yeah, how many like blessing, or how many would like to be blessed? How many would like to abound with blessings? Do you know what the meaning of the word abound is? Can someone look up the meaning of the word abound? Those of you who have these high-tech gadgets that come to church with you. Okay, what is the meaning of the word abound? Abound. To occur or exist in great quantities or numbers. Okay, so now with that understanding, how many want blessings when it comes to you to occur or exist in great quantities or numbers? Raise up your hand. All right, that's very powerful. So then my message becomes very important, isn't it? Because the cause or the trigger for this is this one. Isn't this one? The Bible didn't say everybody will abound with blessings. Amen. Even the Bible doesn't have to say it. Even you know that not everybody abounds with blessings. Is it not true? Yeah, regardless of whether the Bible is saying it or not. You know from experience that not everybody abounds with blessings. Not everybody abounds with blessings because not everybody qualifies to abound with blessings. Amen. But if we would define who qualifies to abound with blessings, which is the faithful man according to the scriptures, then it will be very easy for us to measure ourselves against it to see if we qualify or not. So if certain things don't happen to you, you will not even be surprised because you know the way you are, such things must not happen to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I believe it's a quality that we all can develop. It is something we can put ahead of us this year to work on. It's something we can determine within ourselves to work on. That I'm going to work on this quality of faithfulness. I'm going to work on this quality of reliability. I'm going to work on this quality of being trustworthy, especially when it comes to my relationship with God. Hallelujah. Once you develop faithfulness in relation to God, it starts to overflow and you begins to show in your relationship with people also. Hallelujah. When you are faithful to someone you can't see, it's easier to be faithful to someone you can see. Because it requires a higher level to be faithful to someone you can't see. You get it? Because you easily cheat him. Is it not true? Yeah, you easily cheat him because you sort of feel that he may not even see, but even if he did see, I mean, he's not likely. You see, if you cheat me, you will get an instant reaction when I find out. Do you understand? But it's easier to cheat someone who is not or physically present in a certain immediate way. Do you get it? So that's what we are talking about. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. I want to be that person who abounds with blessings. I want my life to be loaded with blessings. I want my life to be loaded with blessings. Every area of my life. Do you understand? Because the blessings will exist in great quantities. Do you understand? I want my life to be blessed. I want my church to be blessed. I want my family to be blessed. I want my pockets to be blessed. I want my bank account to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed. You know, now when it's all said and done, some of you are going to say, he's very lucky. But that's not what it is. Do you understand? That's not what it is. It is that I worked on the quality of being faithful. And the Bible rewarded, or the Lord rewarded me by causing blessings to exist in great quantities around me. How many understand that? Yeah. But I don't want to be the only one. I want you to join me in that place also. Can I have an amen? So if you're going to be faithful, one of the areas of temptation to be unfaithful is when it's tough to stay faithful. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, faithfulness is not required when it's not tough to be faithful. Amen. You don't really need to be faithful if just being, or just the conditions favor just staying the same. Hallelujah. What I mean is, what is the use of a chair being strong if no one is going to sit on it anyway? Okay. So if no one is ever going to sit on the chair, then the chair does not need to be strong. It just needs to be a chair. But it doesn't have to be strong because it will never come under that test or pressure. Hallelujah. So when we talk about faithfulness, then we are essentially talking about a situation where you are faced with the temptation to change something about your routine, or change something about your character, or about your commitment, especially when it comes to God. And that's what we're looking at in Daniel chapter 6. So it's now time for your scripture. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's read. We're going to read quite a bit in Daniel chapter 6, and then we will close. Amen. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that he might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Hallelujah. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was found, or was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So we're talking about someone, you know, when we think of Daniel, we often think of a prophet, isn't it? Right. We often think of somebody who probably was wearing, you know, long gown with a red belt in the middle, you know, staying in a temple all the time. But Daniel was a very secular person who had a very secular job. He was actually one of the politicians, probably. He was one of the leaders of the country where he lived. So when we read verse 1 and verse 2, the president, or the king in the place, decided that he was going to appoint 120 princes who would be over the whole kingdom. He was going to divide the whole kingdom into 120 provinces and appoint like a minister or a king or some leader over each of those provinces. Now, and then over the 120, he was going to appoint a top 3. So the top 3 will oversee the 120, maybe in groups of 40. Do you understand? Now, then out of the top 3, Daniel was the first. Do you understand? So if you go from the king, you come to Daniel. Then you go to Daniel's 3. Then you go to the 120. Then you have the masses who vote. Okay. So Daniel was that kind of person. Now imagine if you have such a job. You have quite a lot to do. You don't get to stay in a church all day. You don't get to sit in the temple having visions all day. Do you understand? You have a lot of paperwork to push. You have a lot of complaints. You have a lot of letters, different kinds of things to respond to, much like the jobs many of you have. then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. So apart from being the first, Daniel had something about his character that made him the preferred choice. The king preferred him because he had an excellent spirit about him. I pray that it will be said of you that you have an excellent spirit. Hallelujah. Not a dodgy spirit. Do you understand? See, sometimes you meet somebody and you are careful in your dealings with the person because there is a dodgy spirit about the person. Do you understand? The person has a history of being sneaky and has a history of saying this when he means that, or saying that in a way that can lead you to think this, yet when you accuse him, we'll say he said that. Do you understand? Because there's a way of talking where you can be on both sides. Depending on how the whole thing goes, you can safely say, I meant this, or that I meant that. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of dodginess. Amen. But Daniel had a spirit of excellence about him, you know, and I believe that the king saw something about Daniel that inspired his trust and made him feel comfortable with him. And so he thought of setting him over the whole realm, you know, that look, one day I'm going to retire. And when I retire, this Daniel should take over the whole thing. Hallelujah. So it means that if you will also develop an excellent spirit, perhaps your boss will think favorably about you and consider you for higher responsibility, higher promotion, and blessing in your workplace. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is going to be the year for that. Remember, the Bible says when the person is faithful, blessings exist around him in large quantities. And you can see here you are. This guy is going to work every day, and he has no idea that his boss actually is thinking of setting him over the entire unit. Hallelujah. But that's what happens to faithful people. Blessings exist around them in large quantities. Hallelujah. So the next verse, verse 4. Verse 4 says, then the presidents and princes, they sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They started to find something against him. But they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was what? Right. So now we understand that when the man was saying that an excellent spirit was in him, he probably meant that Daniel was actually faithful. That the excellent spirit he was talking about must have been that Daniel was a very faithful person. Because these people started to look for, instead of them working on their faithfulness, do you see? They are making things worse by finding occasion against an innocent man. And they couldn't find anything because he was faithful. He was faithful. He always did what he said he would do. He always did what he was supposed to do. He always followed his commitment. Now, always, we understood earlier that always doesn't mean that it's always easy. Amen. Amen. That you always feel like it. It's not the case. If somebody has to be something always, it's going to cost you something because always are not the same, or always is not the same. Yeah, all ways are not the same. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are days when it's not so easy and other days when it's easy. There are days when it comes naturally. Other days it takes effort. Do you see what I'm saying? Then other days it takes even beyond effort. It's also a price. Do you get it? Effort just means you apply yourself a little bit and you get it done. But when you're doing it at a cost, now you're losing something to get it done. Hallelujah. But Daniel was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. So in the next verse, the people came up with an idea. These men said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Because you can see, Now, I was saying that when someone is faithful, especially in their relationship with God, it has a way of trickling down to their relationships with people, even on their job. So now, these people have tried to attack Daniel on the job. They said they were trying to find something against him concerning the kingdom, and they couldn't find anything. But now we are seeing where it's coming from. Because they realize that Daniel has a relationship with God that seems to control how he works. So they're saying that we will not be able to find anything against Daniel unless we start to find something against him concerning his God. Because that's the root of Daniel's behavior in this place. The whole foundation of Daniel's faithfulness on the job is based on his faithfulness to God. So if we can attack that, that's where we can find something wrong with him. Do you understand? So they go and they decide, let's find something concerning against him, concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. You have to watch out when people are praising you a lot. You never know why they're saying what they're saying. So they say, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of God or man for 30 days, save of thee, do you see, of any God or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Anybody who prays to any god or man over the next 30 days. Do you see? Now, this is a trap that has been set to cut Daniel, and the people have done this because they know that this one will catch him. Yeah. The man has a relationship with God that he so cherishes. You know, it should be that people should say that, look, we cannot find anything against Akwesi unless we do it. We set the trap around his relationship with God. So let's go to the church and set the trap there. Because they know that on Sunday morning, the place where you will be without fail, whether it's easy to come to or difficult to come to, whether it takes a little effort or perhaps you do it at a price. But they know that, look, the place to find this person is in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So they made this thing and they told the king, 30 days we put the person in the lion's den. You just think about it. What is this law intended to achieve? But except that they want to be able to find something against Daniel. Verse 8 says, then now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Says, put it in the constitution, do you see? And let's seal it in a way that it cannot be changed by parliament easily. And the king also was very happy because the petition said that no one can ask for any God for anything except him. So for 30 days he gets to be God. So he's happy and he signs the writing. You have to be careful the things that you sign, you know. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10 is our verse for this morning. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Hallelujah. Amen. He went into his room. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he did before. And this he's doing in the full knowledge that the writing was signed. Hallelujah. Now, something that Daniel was doing before, which was of no consequence, now he was going to have to do the same thing at a price and at a risk. This time, he prayed at a risk of being found and being put in a den of lions. Hallelujah. But Daniel was of the mentality that, look, the same faithfulness that made me even attractive to the king is that same faithfulness that must stay with me even when the rules have changed.
Yeah.
Are you getting the picture? That this is not time to change. This is a time, I agree, it is a very frightening time to be in. It's a very frightening season to be in. It's a frightening occasion to be faithful, to continue to pray as I've always prayed. But I have a routine that I cannot break. I have a routine, I have a relationship with God that I will not change at this time because of the potential consequences. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the question to you this morning is, what does it cost you to change? What does it take for you to change? Because many of us change at the slightest thing. Daniel was not going to change in spite of the fact that it was going to cost him possibly his very life. He was going to be put in a den of lions. You know, and when you read the story, you find that Daniel indeed was caught and they put him in a den of lions. I mean, Daniel was faithful until the end. Do you understand? So when you find someone like that saying, I will always give you the glory, it has a bit more depth, isn't it? You understand what he's saying. That I will always give you the glory. I will always love you. I will always serve you. Is actually and practically true.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you and I must get to that place when we also say, I will always love you. I will always serve you. It's also practically true. Amen.
Amen.
You take our relationships with people. You know, every relationship continues until it hits a bump. Do you see what I'm saying? Until it hits a bump. And somehow I realize that people do not expect any kind of bumps when they are relating with people. People don't expect opportunities to quarrel. They don't expect other people to offend them. You know, they don't expect that people will say something they shouldn't say. They imagine that I will always love you means you will always be lovable. Do you get it? But nobody is always lovable. Do you understand? Even you yourself know that you yourself are not always lovable. So how are you going to require from another person what you can't even require of yourself? And the Bible says you must love your neighbor as yourself. Do you understand? You are supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So don't require of people what you don't require of yourself. And if you don't require perfection of yourself, you should not require perfection of people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Bible is teaching us this morning that Daniel, he stayed the same. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Because he probably had been singing a song in his church, I will always give you the thanks. Do you understand? Or I will always pray every day. He had been singing some song like that in his church. And now he had been faced with a real temptation to change that because of the law that had been passed. And this law was passed specifically to get him. Hallelujah. How many understand my short message this morning? Hallelujah. We need to learn to stay faithful. We need to learn to stay the same no matter what. That is the essence of faithfulness. That is the crux of faithfulness. Hallelujah. You can imagine how these guys were happy. If you read verse 11, it says they went quickly. These men assembled and found Daniel praying, you know, and making supplication before his God. They went to check on him. to see if he would pray. They went exactly to the place they knew that this man, this one will get him. Because this is the one thing about his life that he will not change. Hallelujah. Amen. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes. Verse next, please. And the Persians. Hallelujah. Which altereth not. Then they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Not once, not twice, 3 times a day. He is despising you, you know. And then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, because he saw that really he had messed up. you understand? And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He was trying to see, how can I help this Daniel? Because I've been tricked, you know. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He tried to read other laws. And is there any other amendment, second amendment, third amendment? Can we invoke any type of amendment here just to fix this law so it doesn't get Daniel? Because it is at this point that he understood what he had signed. You see, you have to watch what you sign. Hallelujah. Because most of the time you'll understand it later. Hallelujah. Let me leave it off here. When you go home, you can read the rest of this story and you will understand it better. But let me close with one more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Is it there? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's read from verse 7. It says, God has shined his light in our hearts. Look at it. This thing is off. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's read from verse 7, please. From verse 7. Verse 7. Is it there? Okay, verse 6. Yeah. Give me the part that says, God has shined his light in our hearts. Okay. Now, for God who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Hallelujah. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. Hallelujah. In other words, God has shined his light in our hearts. There is light in our hearts for the world. Hallelujah. The light of the knowledge of God. It means when you know God, you are walking in light. Hallelujah. It means when you come to church, you are pursuing God, you are actually following the light. Hallelujah. Now, but he said, but this treasure, which is the treasure of the light, that means knowing God is valuable. It's a treasure to know God. Amen. But this treasure is in earthen vessels. That means vessels or containers that fail. Do you get it? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Then we go to the next verse. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Hallelujah. It says we are troubled on every side. As you continue to be a bearer of this light, you're going to find out that you come into situations in your life where you are troubled on every side. I mean, when someone is troubled on every side, he is indeed troubled on every side. It means he has trouble on every side. Do you understand? Can you come, please? He has trouble on the front. He has trouble on the back. So it means he has trouble here. He has trouble there. Do you understand? Then he has trouble on this side. And he has trouble on that side. Do you understand? Now, the natural result of having trouble on every side is to be in distress. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, sometimes when children cannot sleep at night, it's because they are in distress. Because they have trouble on every side. Sometimes when you're sick and you have pain all over your body, you're not sure which side to lie on. You lie on this side and it hurts. And you lie on your back and it also hurts. Then you lie on this side and it hurts. Then you lie on that side and it also hurts. So you be tossing and turning, and sometimes you even get out of the bed because you are in distress. Do you understand? So the natural, what he's saying is that even though we have so much trouble, the natural result or what it should lead to, do you understand, is what we are not allowing to happen to us because we want to be faithful. If having trouble on every side makes you distressed, then you are now unfaithful. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means you cannot be relied upon. You see, if you try to make a hole in the cup and the hole does puncture, then the cup cannot be relied upon. It means anybody that makes a hole will make a hole and everything in it will leak out of it. But God is looking for vessels that don't puncture with pressure. God is looking for people who continue to serve in spite of the trouble. So he says, we are troubled on this, on every side, yet not distressed. Thank you. Then the next one, he says, we are perplexed. Do you get it? Perplexed means that you are puzzled, you are confused, you don't get it. Everybody has a season in your life where you don't get it. Is it true or not? Yeah, we don't get it. We don't get why they did it. We don't get why they said it. We don't understand why it's happening to us. We don't understand why me, why him, why her. We don't understand. We are puzzled. Now, the natural product of a puzzling situation when you don't have the answers is to give up, which is to be in despair. Can you see that? This one over here. Hallelujah. That is the natural result, product of a puzzling circumstance. Hallelujah. Which is that, well, I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. So you just throw your hands in the air and give up. Many people give up. You're in a relationship. It's not working out. You've tried everything you know, everything they told you. You know, they say, wake him up at dawn and talk to him. You woke him up 3 a.m. You try to talk to him. He called you a witch because you are awake at 3 a.m. You see, so what is supposed to work has not worked. So in despair, you throw your hands in the air and you give up. But that is unfaithfulness. Faithfulness is that you are perplexed, but you are not in despair. You are still holding on, even though you don't understand it. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Then the next one is persecuted. Persecution is when you are suffering because of what you are believing or what you do because of what you believe. Do you see? And sometimes when you are in intense persecution, especially when you've grown up thinking that God will always deliver you from every situation. Do you see? God will always deliver you from every situation. Like Daniel. I'm sure Daniel said that perhaps God might close or change something about the king's law or the king, something, so he doesn't go before the lions. And then maybe to his surprise, he actually ended up with the lions. See, earlier on in the book of Daniel, there are three guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who tell someone that their God is able to deliver them from the fire. You know, that our God is able to do it. But even if he doesn't, we will not serve your God. Do you understand? Everybody who has faith in God has somewhere or has it somewhere at the back of his mind that God can deliver him from this situation. Do you understand? What we often don't have is the other one, if he doesn't. Do you understand? Yeah. That if he doesn't, what will happen to you? Hallelujah. So anyway, you have a situation when you are persecuted, you start to feel that God has abandoned you. So persecution produces that forsaken feeling. It produces the feeling because you feel that if I have stood up for God, if I've gone to church so much, I've paid my tithe each single time, why should I be broke? Why should I even lose a job? Because I've been paying my tithe. Do you understand? So when you suffer because of what you believe, you believe in tithe and then you pay your tithe and then you go into some consequent suffering. Do you understand? Even people start calling you a fool. Sometimes even you persecute yourself by calling yourself a fool. Hallelujah. And you feel forsaken. Then the next one is cast down. That means disappointed, but not destroyed. I still can believe. Are you getting it? Yeah. So you can see all these things or these circumstances, if they are allowed to go to their natural conclusion, they should produce those effects. But a faithful person is one who stays the same in spite of what is going on. Hallelujah. You need to be able to get to the place where you will be or have trouble on every side, but you're not in distress. Hallelujah. You will be able to be in a perplexing circumstance, but you're not in despair. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
That you will be persecuted and you endure it, knowing that you are not forsaken.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just because you are in difficulty doesn't mean God has forsaken you. Hallelujah. God's presence is not validated by our circumstances. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Our circumstances are not the ultimate proof of God's presence with us or not. God can choose to be with you before the fire, during the fire, or after the fire. God can choose any part of your life or your circumstance to show up and to manifest himself. Hallelujah. When God is with you before the fire, he prevents you from going to a situation like that altogether, which is more of what we prefer, what we are used to, what we enjoy. When God is with you in the fire, he allows a situation to come up, but he is with you in it. And that's when you go through the situation and you wonder, how did I even make it? Do you understand? Where something that should cause you to lose your mind, you know, you still don't lose your mind. God is with you. Then when God is with you after the fire, the situation, you are in the situation and the situation has produced the adverse effect it's supposed to produce, and yet God did show up to rescue you from it. Hallelujah. God did show up to rescue you from it, and God did show up to deliver you from it. You know, recently it was just last week, I met a lady, and she just came to say hello to me, and she said to me that, you know, God has been faithful to me. That's what she said. Then she said, he came through for me. And I asked her why. She said, I've been mad twice.
Wow.
Yeah, she said to me, I've been mad twice, you know. And I knew her because previously when I had visited that particular church, you know, I'd seen her in one of her conditions, you know. And here she was standing there very sane and telling me, she said, I've been mad twice. And each time God came for me and rescued me from this thing. You know, I was so touched by it. Do you get it? And you see, somebody will say that if God is with you, why should you allow even the madness in the first place? Are you getting it? But Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2, he said that when you go through the waters, I will be with you. And the waters will not overshadow you. Hallelujah. I want you to know that we serve a faithful God. And God requires that we also emulate faithfulness in our relationship with him. Hallelujah. I pray that this year, all of us will make it our aim to be faithful. Amen. You take all the things you do, like coming to church. It's not always going to be easy. There are times when you wake up and it's like you literally have to get out of your bed and collect your body and bring it out to follow you. Do you understand? Because sometimes you're so tired. We're all just normal people. We have jobs. We work. Sometimes you work all night. When you come home, your bed is crying for you. Every part of you says, sleep here. Do you understand? But you know that you should go to church. You know that it's your opportunity to go and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So you have to put yourself together and overcome. You come to church, you're so tired. You're even sleepy. And who says God doesn't understand sleepy people? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He neither slumbers nor sleeps. That's why we get to sleep. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So God is not against sleepy people in your presence. Perhaps even when you slept in the church, you might have a dream where you meet God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's going to cost you something if you're going to be faithful with tithing. You see, there'll be some months when it's so easy to pay your tithe. Then will come this month. Yeah. And you will see that if you pay your tithe this month, it means this and that and that. Everybody comes to that place at some point in your life. Hallelujah. You come to some place where it's not easy to be faithful, but you still have to be faithful. Hallelujah. Your relationships with people. The relationships, they're smiling and laughing every day. But there will come a day when you will see that this same relationship with this same person, now it is bitter and it's not interesting. Do you understand? That's when your faithfulness is going to be tested. Hallelujah. And if you're faithful, you stay. If you're faithful, you say, you know what? I'm not happy with you, but I'm still here. Yeah. I'm still here. I'm not happy with you, but I'm still here. I hate you now, but I'm still here. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Hallelujah. So, gentlemen, here endeth my little sermon. Hallelujah. I pray that all of you will develop a spirit of faithfulness like Daniel, an excellent spirit. And you will see it will pay you rewards even on your job. People will notice that about you and they will start to choose you. You'll be the favored one on your job because that faithfulness you have developed in your relationship with God is going further to affect your work. Amen. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let's say a word of prayer as we bring the service to a close. Can you play something for us, please? Hallelujah. We just need 2 minutes of time for every individual to talk to God about their lives and about this whole concept of faithfulness and say that, Lord, I want to be faithful. And I want to use the word always. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful always, always, always. I want to be faithful, Lord, always. When it hurts, I want to be faithful when it's easy. And I want to be faithful when it's difficult. I want to be faithful when it's affordable, and I want to be faithful when I can't even afford it. Yet I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful when there is a reward for it, and I want to be faithful when there is no reward for it. I want to be faithful when it's the natural thing to do, and I want to be faithful when it is so unnatural to be faithful at this point. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Paul, who said, we are troubled on every side, but we are not in distress. We are still the same. We have the same confidence in what we are doing. That we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. You know,
that we are persecuted, but we don't feel like we are forsaken. And we are cast down, but we are not destroyed at all. We never get to that place where we allow our experiences to twist our commitment to God or anything we're doing for Him. And that's what we're talking about this morning. And God is ministering to you. God is saying that, you know, it's time for you to be faithful. It's time for you to be consistent. It's time for you to be reliable. It's time for you to stay the same in spite of the changing circumstances in your life. Because one thing you can always count on is change in your life. Things will never be the same, because things are never the same anywhere. But you can stay the same in spite of the changing circumstances. And God can help you to be that person. So pray, lift up your hand, everybody, to the Lord today and say, Lord, help me. If you don't help me, I can't do it. I need your help. I need your help to do this in the name of Jesus. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now. I come to thee. Sing it again. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Sing it again. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour. Bless me. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. Know that blessing you want is the blessing of faithfulness. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to that. If you say you will have a quiet time every morning, that you will have a quiet time. Even though there are days when you wake up so late, perhaps the quiet time may not be as long as you always do, but at least that you will do something just so that you can stay the same. That you can stay the same. That you made a promise to give a certain amount, or that you will offer a certain amount, or that you will give your tithe, or that you will be faithful with your relationships, you'll be faithful with your commitments, you'll be faithful with the things you promise to do, that God can count on you. God can help you to be faithful. And when you are faithful, blessings will exist in large quantities around you. That is what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, this morning for your blessing. In the name of Jesus, my Savior, I come to thee. And finally, as we close the service, maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, because I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Maybe you're saying in your heart, I know in my heart I'm not born again. I know that my sins are not forgiven. But I want my sins to be forgiven. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life today. If you're here and that is the prayer on your heart, I want to give you this opportunity to do so. Just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. God bless you. Is there anybody else you want your sins to be forgiven? You want to serve God? You want to be a child of God? You want to be sure that if you died, you will go to heaven? I want you to raise up your right hand. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't you just say this prayer with me as your hand is up, and everybody just join in as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord, and I confess with my mouth God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Forgive me, Jesus. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Let your blood wash me thoroughly and make me a child of God. I want to live for you day after day, day after day, day after day. I want to live for you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. How many of you would like